Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Thank you very much for all of your emails. Keep them coming. If you want to contact me with a guest suggestion or anything you want to say about the show, please feel free to go to the website, theunexplained.tv, designed and created by Adam Cornwell from Creative Hotspot in Liverpool, and you can send me an email from that place. And I love to get your emails. And do know that if you send me a guest suggestion, I will try, if the guest is appropriate for the show, to get that guest on the show. One case in point, though, not everybody wants to do interviews. One of you made a great suggestion, a guy who predicts the future, apparently quite accurately, according to what I've read online, using bots, B-O-T-S, in a very high-tech and modern way. I thought he would be an ideal guest, and I was very grateful to the person who suggested that. But we did get in touch with him, and the answer came back, no, I do not do interviews. So, you know, in situations like that, there is nothing you can do, sadly. But we do try, and, you know, we have a very good hit and success rate with people. Some of the big names, as you know, over the years have come on this show. So keep suggesting the guests, and we'll keep trying to get them here. TheUnexplained.tv, that's my website. And if you can make a donation to the show while you stop by the website, that'll be great too, to allow this all to continue. The guest on this edition of the show is somebody I've wanted to get on for a bit. He's an astrologer, but at the very top level, and the cutting edge of all of this, it seems to me. You may disagree with this. I know that astrology is controversial. His name is, and I will check the pronunciation with him as soon as we get talking, William Stickivers. And William is a man who is based in New York and Los Angeles, from what I see. He's been doing this for 30 years and has a pretty important and spectacular client list. Not only doing predictions for individuals about the state of their love life and that kind of thing, which astrologers have always done, but also predictions for the world and forecasts for the corporate realm and that sort of thing. So this guy is very much at the cutting edge of it all, which is why I thought it might be good to get him on here. Now, like I say, I know that there is a lot of controversy about astrology, and we all know the stories of newspapers who, when the astrologer has quit or been ill, they've got anyone to put together the forecasts, and sometimes those forecasts, done by a complete amateur, have been absolutely accurate and correct, people have said. So, you know, I know that there are people who say that astrology is bunk. And if you talk to a lot of astronomers, they will tell you that it has absolutely no basis in science. Nevertheless, I have to say, and I'm not alone, and I'm not afraid to admit this, when I get the newspapers in to whichever news office I happen to be working in, I will always look at the front page, what's on page 2 and 3, and then I will go immediately to the astrology section and just try and find out how the Gemini people are doing, because that's how I am. And I've always been that way since I was young. So I feel I'm probably not alone. You know, this is an uncertain world, isn't it? And sometimes horrible things happen in it. And all of us, unless we are wealthy people and in perfect health, all of us worry. All of us want to know what's going to happen in the future. And if we don't, then I think we're not being honest with ourselves. And astrology gives you a little guidepost. Even if it's wrong, you at least have something to cling to. And I think that's probably why I look at the astrology columns. And I've known some very good astrologers in my time. You know, my old friend Shelley von Strunkel, who's been on my show both online and on the radio many, many times, is a first-rate astrologer known across the world. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about astrology. Maybe you live your life by it, which I would never recommend, of course, that you live your life by anything. You've just got to see what comes. And maybe you think it's complete bunk. But whatever you think, I think you will be interested by the man that we're about to speak with. So let's cross to William Stickivers in the United States and say, William, thank you very much for coming on The Unexplained.
You're very welcome.
Now, you are a remarkable guy, biographically and in terms of the way that your life has unfolded, I think, because I understand that astrology was not your first choice of career. You've had a few.
Yes, I've had a career in classical music and in information technologies as an infrastructure engineer with a degree in programming. I attended conservatory in Philadelphia back in the mid-80s, studied with the principal clarinetist of the Philadelphia Orchestra. And then I got into information technology, going to Hofstra University and getting a degree in software programming. So from there, I actually had two careers. And then during that period, I was studying astrology intensely with some of the world's best astrologers that were living and operating and had a living practice in the New York City metropolitan area, as well as Philadelphia. And from there, I developed an international astrology practice later on in the late 90s that eventually became a full-time practice around sometime around 2007.
Boy, that's a hell of a career path. I mean, for a start off, you know, you have to have great dedication to be a classical musician. I've known people who've wanted to do that. And, you know, they probably still want to do it and they never could. So you did, and you chose to change direction. Then you moved into something that has actually benefited your website. Now I see why your website is so damn good. You know, the IT stuff. But you chose to move towards astrology. What was it about astrology that spoke to you? Why did you begin to study it, and why did you think this was the way for you to go?
Well, initially, I was brought into astrology through a friend who was an aspiring actor who did go on to act in Hollywood. And he was informed by the astrologer that he would change his career dramatically and he would move across the country and pursue his dream. And this was predicted a year or two ahead of when that did occur. At the same time that he got that reading, he insisted during the time I was at school break, winter vacation in 85, 86, to go see this astrologer with him. And when I went to see the astrologer informed me that I was in the process of finding disenchantment with my pursuit of what I was majoring in college, which at the time was a bachelor in music performance, and I would later on pursue several careers. Of course, at the time when you're 19 years old, I didn't want to believe it, but he also made other predictions about what would be coming up for that year, which all came to pass. And at that point, I was very convinced there was something to it. I called that astrologer, that's very same astrologer who happened to be living in Cold Spring Harbor, New York. His name is Robert Cook. He's a psychological Jungian astrologer. And I asked him to give me a recommendation of certain books, which, you know, I started doing intense studies while I was attending university, and then I, from there, it just sort of developed. I was able to do readings for students, for professors. I was, you know, just practicing, learning. It was a very enriching, powerful, and psychologically empowering period for me.
So this guy you went to see, kind of like to see him myself, but this guy you went to see clearly had a deep impact on you. And that's an unusual thing because, look, I've got a guy who fixes my car. He's a genius. But I have never wanted to be a motor mechanic. You went to see a great astrologer and you became an astrologer.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wasn't planning on becoming an astrologer. I was planning to become a world-class principal clarinetist for a major symphony orchestra. And to that was my career path. I had tremendous talent, tremendous potential, and I was doing that. It was very clear that that was possible, right? Even though it was a very competitive and limited industry in many respects. So, being an astrologer and seeing counseling people didn't sound very glamorous to me. I wanted something that was very big and very glamorous and, you know, something that would be very appealing to a young man who is making his way in the world. So, you know, this is something that developed over time and I had a talent for, and I realized, you know, I was invited not only to speak, but also to, at a very early age, in my early 20s, for the Astrological Institute of Research and represent their software in the early 1990s in San Diego. And I realized at that point, you know, I was the youngest person at this very large conference where 600 to 700 people attended. So there was very few people in my age group that were interested or active in astrology. And that continued to be the case for the next 10 to 15 years, where I was one of the youngest people at these large astrological conferences and events. And so it was something that became more and more part of my life, even though I was pursuing diligently auditioning for orchestras. I was playing on Broadway. I then decided to go into IT because as I got more interested in astrology, I got more interested in working with computers, and that initially drove me into getting a degree in software engineering.
It seems to be terribly important, actually. I'm sorry I interrupted you. What age were you when you got that?
Yeah, 29. I went back to school at 29 to get a degree in software engineering, and I had no background in math or science, so I had to take all these remedial courses so I could reach a certain level of parity in order to actually write the software code for the various different assignments in the course curriculum. So I had to do quite a bit of catch-up in order to reach a certain level of parity to not only write the software coding, but also to understand the astrology from how the planetary positions are calculated. And from there, I worked more and more with a world-class astrologer, researcher, and software engineer himself, Alfie Lavoie, the president of the Astrological Institute of Research. And we started working and collaborating more and more together certainly by the mid to late 90s after I obtained my degree from Hofstra. And I was doing that, and at the same time, I was one of the most in-demand network infrastructure engineers in New York City. And I was doing quite a bit of work as a consultant then because of the dot-com boom that was taking place at that period.
Right. So if you'd gone more in that direction, you would be incredibly rich now, I guess.
Right. I made very good money back in the day. I was actually walking away from work because there was just too much work and too little time to do that work. And it was a very happening, prolific period in my life. So in some respects, I couldn't commit to a full-time practice, even if I wanted to. And that was at that time in New York in particular, it was a very glamorous period where you worked hard, you played hard, you know, it was a 24-hour, around-the-clock type of experience.
I mean, you know, people think that Gordon Gekko, you know, that Wall Street movie was fiction. But in fact, around that time, that was a bit of a pale reflection of what was reality then.
Yes, that's very true. I think a lot of people, I think that film and the HBO TV series Sex and the City, both of those really reflect the culture and the mindset in Wall Street and the cultural mindset that was occurring in that time when money was abundant, opportunity was there was gold in the streets and opportunity was there. And all you had to do was show up and it was possible for you to really make it and make it big.
Yeah, no, you just had to show up and you better be good at what you do. But if you were, then the sky's the limit.
Right. In New York, if you're not good at what you do not last very long, regardless what industry you're in.
So look, being around that, and I have a certain amount of experience of that, it's a completely different ethos, a completely different outlook from the semi-spirituality, which is astrology. Although I know that there is, you would tell me, and all astrologers will tell me, a solid backbone of theory behind this. So it's not all airy-fairy and out there. It's you know, it's based on facts and a structure. However, in my mind, nothing could be more different from that kind of go-get-em, dog-eat-dog world of Wall Street. Those two things must have conflicted within you.
Well, not really, because once the hedge fund managers realized I was not only a network engineer that was empowering their ability to leverage their algorithms, but also someone could give them insight onto where future trends would occur based on astrological alignments that I could quickly show on a screen affected markets in the past, they started sitting down with me, talking about it with great interest, and many of them ended up becoming my clients up to this very day.
I bet they did. I mean, if it was working for them, of course they would be. So literally, you could sit there in that era and now and point to possible market trends. I mean, look, I've had personal experience of knowing very closely somebody who did this for a living, both in Wall Street and in the City of London. So I know it's all split-second stuff. But if you get a hot tip, you've got to act on it. So you literally could advise those people that now is a good time to get into pork bellies.
Correct. Because I had a background in technology, I talked to them about the fact that the emergence of the internet back in 1993, 1994, during the Uranus-Neptune alignment would be the driving force of all technology, which would shape the culture more than anything else. And that was during the inception of the dot-com boom. And then when the dot-com collapse occurred, I talked about the fact that we're going to see a renaissance. We will see an integration of the internet that will be pervasive into every aspect of our lives. So that was something I really focused on with them, and that really proved out to be true.
And, you know, most people, and I include the media here, of which I was a part. I mean, we sounds like we've been through the same era together. Mm-hmm. The media weren't aware that that was coming down the track. You know, this internet boom that we now have and the move towards AI, it's caught a lot of people off guard.
Yes, it has, quite a bit. In fact, we're seeing a retail collapse because retail has still been resistant, more or less, to making the necessary level of innovation and changes required in order to keep up with the dot-com revolution that continues to accelerate and intensify. So one of the things I really was talking about during that period in the 90s was the development of various different portals and the way people date, right? We saw Yahoo Personals emerge back in the mid-90s, but one of the things I was very much involved in was developing algorithms and developing compatibility black boxes for people for online dating.
Black boxes.
Right, where in astrology, we have six different level matrices of compatibility using a tradition that goes back over 2,000 years. And from using that and then combining it with the secular data, right, of the individuals that are seeking a particular type of person, we can then make appropriate matches that meet both the astrological and the personal preferences of the individual. Of both individuals. And so I was very much part of that movement as well, and very influential. That was what we see now with many of the websites out there.
That's astonishing. I'm always very critical of shows like this one where the host goes, wow, and I've just gone and done it, because that's amazing. You know, so you were moving among these people who were movers and shakers, and I do know, you know, how much money and what pace these people live at, because I have personal experience of this. But some of these people, you know, the women with their shoulder pads 10 miles wide in that era, and the guys with the sharp suits and the shiny shoes, they were coming to you for guidance.
Yes, yes. And this was especially the case in the year 2000, when they thought, you know, this was the end of the dot-com era. It's over. We're going back to brick and mortar. And I had to really reassure them that this is just the beginning of the revolution, the AI fourth industrial scientific revolution was just taking hold. So that proved to be true. And, you know, to this day, I have the very same clients. Most of my clientele happens to be primarily based in New York, even though I have an international clientele at this point. And later on, I ended up working for very high-end clients in Tokyo, which I made two or three trips a year between 1996 and 2013.
This is astonishing stuff, and it brings astrology from the scribblers and scribes who would sit at their desks, you know, with an angle poised lamp over the paper, working out charts. This brings it all right up to date. Tell me what it is about the astrological charts, how you use those astrological charts to, for example, predict the state of the economy, and how, for example, now we will be affected, if you're in retail, adversely by the onset of AI.
Well, one of the things is that we have to realize when we have a chart of an individual, which is based on the birth time, birthplace and birth date, we are really looking at the individual's soul's code and calling. We're looking at the deep level of their psyche, not only their personality structure, but what is the operational code for their specific purpose and mission in this life, regardless of what their preferences or ideas are. All right, because life has a strange way of moving in a direction that it wants to, regardless whether we want to go for the ride or not.
So you're saying that everybody is effectively pre-programmed. I mean, look, I'm a Gemini. Many people tell me that I'm a typical Gemini. Lots of us do communication and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me that from the outset, when I stepped into this world in Liverpool all those years ago, my course was pretty much set.
Correct. Correct. You get to have... There are certain periods where there's more free will, right, where you can sort of determine how it will play out to some degree. But the course is pretty much set. The overall strategic mission parameters are basically more or less set. And the same approach is what we look at when we look at a nation state or a first trade chart of a company, or a inceptional horoscope of a nation, okay, or for anything that we're looking at, whether it's the launch of the space shuttle or the International Space Station, we can see the course of the life, all right, the life mission of that particular entity. And that's how I look at it. And then we use very sophisticated means of forecasting to determine when peak periods of intense activity are going to occur. So what we're doing with astrology is we're making informed speculations through using the tradition, based the symbols based on the tradition, within the context of the situation or entity that we're looking at. Right. So we have to keep that in mind. We cannot just use astrology in a vacuum. Right. The more background information I have on a person, the better I can make my forecast about where things are going to occur and play out, or how they'll play out. The same thing when I look at a company. Someone just called me this morning about Tesla. Right. They're in very serious trouble. I've been talking about this. Many people who follow my work, I talked about this last year. So they wanted to make a decision today. So I had a lot of background information on Tesla. I have their first trade chart. And then from there, using financial astrology tools and forecasting methods, Bradley system, black box, and a whole host of other techniques, I can make an informed speculation on whether Tesla will be able to meet their production demand, all right, unless in the time frame that Elon Musk stated it would or not. I could easily determine that, and then I can inform the client at that point, should they sell the stock right at this point, or should they continue to hold?
And what was your advice then? What did you say?
Oh, sell the stock. Hmm. It was very clear to me that they're in very serious trouble. They're going to probably go through some type of major reorganization at this point. So I knew, you know, and it's much more serious. We're going to see a very serious set of a very serious turn of events occur.
Okay, well, now this is interesting. I just need to explain, we're doing a podcast right now. I also have a live radio show, but this is a podcast that will be heard in about 10 days or so. So some of those events may well have transpired or be run of transpiring when this is actually heard. That's fascinating. If you think about your president, Mr. Donald J. Trump, who, of course, mm-hmm. is a controversial figure around the world, right, tends to get his way one way and another, has bent with the wind to an extent. Mm-hmm. But the actual process of getting him into the White House, there were many, many people who said that based on political practicality, there was no way this man was going to get in, and Hillary Clinton was virtually a shoo-in for the thing, even if she was not the ideal candidate, which many people believed she wasn't. What actually happened was, as we know, something quite different. Were you predicting that?
Yes, I actually not only predicted Trump would win early on, I predicted that he would win the nomination when everybody, where a majority of the astrological community and the media and the polls believed that he would drop out after his first defeat in the primaries in the Iowa caucus. I predicted right then, and it's on record, using very specific I do a lot of political forecasting. That's one of my fortes. Not only did I predict he would win the nomination, I predicted in July he would win the presidency, and I predicted down to, I believe, 92% accuracy on each state he would win. That was all published on my website. Everyone can view that at my website. And also, because of I was able to predict his win down with such precision, it was very clear to me what was happening in the country. It was not so important that Donald Trump won. What was important is why he won and what are the particular astrological, political, geopolitical, economic, and social undercurrents that created a Trump presidency.
Because he was a reaction to a situation. Well, probably any presidential winner is a reaction to situations, but particularly so in his case.
Particularly so. One of the reactions which many of the astrologers worldwide fail to acknowledge is the failed economic policies of Barack Obama. And there was no fixing of the economy. There was no revision or restructuring of Wall Street. Basically, more or less, the Obama administration declared a recession was over with. Green shoots, happy days are here again. It was all different talk of a recovery when there was no recovery.
Right. Are you saying that as an astrologer or a Wall Street man?
I can say that both. There are both indications that there was a recovery on Wall Street, but not on Main Street. In fact, the recession got worse between 2009 to 2014, and the recovery was more of an extend and pretend type of intelligence operation, where there was tremendous amount of liquidity injected into the system to continue recapitalizing insolvent institutions on Wall Street and all throughout corporate America. Meanwhile, the outsourcing continued. Meanwhile, salaries kept going down. The cost of what we saw at that period was a time of deflation and inflation. Deflation in regards to what people had, the prices of what they owned or had kept going down in value, and what they needed or what they were aspiring to purchase or have were going up faster than they were able to pay for or buy.
Right. Well, we still have that situation pertaining here in the UK, let me tell you.
Yes. In fact, the UK's economy is far worse than the US economy. And many British astrologers pretty much ignore that. They'll acknowledge there's a problem with labor, but they don't see the deeper issue with the banking system. But let me go back to America for a moment. The real reason Trump won was because of the failed stewardship of Barack Obama in concert with the Federal Reserve. We saw a continuing of the same Bush policies, more or less, accelerated and intensified while Barack Obama was giving very different lip service to his constituents and his base voters. In fact, the situation got so bad that he barely won in a very close contest to a very ineffective, let's just say a very... I'm trying to get the right term here.
We might say lackluster here.
Lackluster. He won in a very close contest to a lackluster candidate. So here's the point. The point is that Donald Trump represents two things. He represents, he is the creation of negligence in government, which is not only a failure, it's a moral failure. Also, he represents part of a larger archetypal process that's happening worldwide, and that is we're in a state of global revolution, industrial revolution, revolution in economics, revolution in finance, revolution in money.
And I sense there is a feeling, and there certainly was here in our recent political happenings, that some people, a lot of people, were wanting to give the politicians, because of what had happened to them in their lives, the fact that their pocketbooks, as you call them, were less full than before, wanting to give the politicians a kick up the backside, as we say in the UK, And that seems to be a worldwide trend. You know, there are those who would say that is what swept Donald Trump into power. That's what caused Brexit to happen here in Europe, in the UK. It seems, and that seems to be what you're saying, that there is a worldwide shakeup.
Worldwide shakeup. And this all began during the massive Uranus, Pluto, Saturn, T-square, Jupiter-Saturn T-square alignment that occurred in 2010, which correlated very closely with the Arab Spring, which very correlated very closely with the Occupy Wall Street, right? And a whole host of other major world events that were occurring. We had over about 20 revolutions within a two-year period worldwide. And we had the breakup, the beginning of the economic breakup and breakdown of the European Union, which is still in progress.
Of course, the people who run the EU will tell you that it's all hunky-dory. It's just they would say, and bear in mind that I'm doing this apolitically. I don't have a view if you're listening to this. But, you know, they would say we're the problem and they're fine.
Right. Well, I mean, we can have that discussion if you want, because I've been a big critic of the EU since we saw the beginning, since 2010. It's clear to me once Italy votes to leave the EU, that is the beginning of the end of the EU.
Well, you see that happening, do you?
I see that happening. I see the five. I predicted that we would see back in 2010 in a book that one book I published in Japan. I talked about specifically how Italy would be the Achilles heel of the European Union. They're the third largest economy. Once they would go into insolvency, that we would see a rise of a political movement, which, as we know today, is the Five Star Movement. And that political movement would eventually want to break off from the Union. And they have sufficient level of gold in their reserves where they could start printing lira again. So this is the type of scenario I see playing out over the next few years. I think it's pretty imminent. I think we're going to see a beginning of the breakup the moment we go into recession. So we're on the verge of a global recession, right? Now, they'll call it a recession, but in many parts of the world, it will be more like a depression. In certain parts of the UK, it will feel and look more like a depression.
Well, I have to say that if that is so, William, that's terrible news for a lot of people here, because a lot of people, including myself, really paid a big price from 2008 to now. And we kind of thought and hoped that we were coming out of it.
Well, here's the thing. What you're implying, Howard, is there was no real recovery for you. There was no real recovery for any of my clients. They're basically treading water. It's like a new normal since 2009.
Mm. No, I will definitely accept that comment that that we're keeping on keeping on, but we're not moving upwards, I don't think. And this isn't a political comment, just in case you're listening to this and you think that I'm coming to this with any political axe to grind. That ain't so. I'm just retailing what I'm telling you that I'm observing.
Howard, what I'm seeing here is the fact that there is no political solution based on the fundamental deeper problems with the economy and with the current geopolitical power structure that's been in place since 1945. The solutions by both the Tory and Labor parties, by the Republican and the Democrats, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about the core ideology of those parties that have been in power since the onset of World War I, all right? They do not have a solution. They are more of the problem. And all of this is going to come to a very clear, it's going to come to a clear head once we have a global financial reset event, which occurs, if you look back, around 84, 85 years on average. If you go back to 1933, right, that's when they closed the banks in the United States for 4 days. And they reset the value of the money. They did the same thing in Europe around the same time. They reset the value of money. If you go back to 1873, go back another 80 some odd years, right? We had the same problem. We had a very severe global depression at that point. And if you go back again, you have the same situation in the early 1800s again. So one of the big issues has to come up, come to the fact that we're going to have a geopolitical, we're going to have a financial, we're going to have a reset. And this reset is not just something that is tangible. It's happening in terms of the consciousness of the planet, that the way we're proceeding as a anything, the way we're proceeding as a civilization is not sustainable or tenable. And that's what the bigger issues, the bigger alignments are showing. We're going to undergo a radical reconfiguration event that will impact us on every level.
When you say a reconfiguration event, I know that both in the 1870s, 1880s, in the 1930s into the 1940s, of course, what followed the realignment of the monetary system and of the economies of the world was a war. I'm kind of hoping that's not where you're seeing us going.
Well, I hate to say this, but the war index based on the Barbara Planetary Cyclic Index, which is the most accurate long-term indicator of geopolitical and economic developments and events in history, are basically showing we are now in the same position we were at in World War I and World War II. In fact, we're much closer to a World War II type of scenario now than we've ever been.
But isn't there something massively different now, though? And I don't know how you would work this back into astrological charts and prognostications, but these days we are more democratic. We have more power. Back in the 1870s, certainly in this country, and in the 1930s, the lower classes knew their place. These days, we're all empowered, we're all educated, we're connected digitally. So I would say those things would militate against those sorts of cataclysmic events happening. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you might be right, but I'll say this. Back in 1939, in the summer of 39, there was a astrological conference of some of the world's best astrologers who all met. And after a meeting over a period of several days, they made the determination that no war was going to happen in Europe. No war, all right? And then, as you know, the catastrophe began on September 1st when Adolf Hitler invaded Poland. And by May 10th, Adolf Hitler had conquered most of Europe, and England was on the verge of invasion. So the astrologers got it wrong, and after there were several books written on why they got it wrong. And one of the reasons was is that their perception, we live in modern times now, we're democracies here, they had a particular bias, and that bias actually put them in a position of making a judgment call that proved extremely erroneous. And we're seeing the same thing happen today. We saw the same thing happen with the British astrologers who predicted that there would be no British exit. We saw the same thing happen again with the American astrologers. Over 90% said Hillary Clinton by a landslide, steady as it goes, all is well, Obama recovery achieved, all right? The same thing. And now we're seeing it again when it comes to the war. We're seeing it again with the fact that people still believe there will be no economic reset. And I happen to say, and my position is, we are going to see a global financial economic reset, the likes of the same level of severity, if not greater than what happened in 33 and 1873, number one. Number two, whether we have a war or not will depend on many, many, many factors, but I would say that the probability of a third world war or a intense regional conflict between Russia, China, and the United States in the Middle East or the South China Sea or some other part of the world is more probabilistic than it was at the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962 based on these larger mundane geopolitical cycles.
And yet, people were saying 2 or 3 months ago that Kim Jong-un, Rocket Man, as Mr. Trump called him, was behaving erratically, was making the Korean Peninsula teeter towards the brink of a nuclear conflagration, which America would be dragged into, and so would other superpowers. And it's looking like Mr. Trump will be meeting Kim Jong-un, and that particular threat has gone away. So is the world really that unstable right now?
Yes, it is. And I think it's a big surprise to all of us, including Donald Trump and the CIA, the complete reversal on North Korea's position. I will say this, that if it wasn't this event that triggered, you know, a regional conflict, it would the scenario right now in the Middle East is looking almost just as grave. So, look, you know, it's very hard to know exactly. I mean, we have an idea. We're going to see, you know, the potentiality between a conflict, a localized or intense regional conflict between Iran and Saudi Arabia has been brewing for a long time. So that's still in the cards. There's other problems in northern Eastern Europe as well, between what's happening in Latvia and the Baltic nation states. There's more military deployment going on there than there was in Korea over the past 6 months.
And are you telling me that the cyclical ebb and flow of the astrological charts are showing you this?
Yes. This is not my opinion. Why would I come on the air and do this podcast with you if this is all opinion, right? I mean, I don't get, you know, if I was 50% right about what I say, I wouldn't have a business. I'm not saying there's absolutely going to be a third world war. I do think that there will be I do think there is, you know, and maybe I'm being biased here, that cooler heads will likely prevail. I do see the probability of an intense regional conflict that will involve Russia, the United States, to a lesser extent in the Middle East. All right. Or China and the United States in the South China Sea. So I'm seeing the potential for war. Now, listen. Howard, I have clients who work in the Department of Defense, all right? They do not discuss details with me, right? But they do ask me questions, and I happen to have their charts. And many of them, I would say several of them, have very intense planetary transit activity starting the second half of this year all the way into 2021. I saw this with four people who work in the military industrial complex and two others who work in the Department of Defense. When I saw that, it indicated to me they were going to be very intensely busy. These are not people who are on their way out, but who are very high-level players and decision-makers in their particular sector, right, the military-industrial complex. And I can assure you right now that they are very concerned about what is happening.
I believe you said at the beginning of our conversation, though, that free will could play into all of this. So I see a little glimmer of hope, perhaps, for the world in that, as you say, cooler heads may prevail and free will choices may head off something bad.
Absolutely. So I just want to state that. I don't want to get the audience worked up here or project doom and gloom. I'm just trying to talk reality because it's imminent and look, all the geopolitical turmoil that's going on goes back to the global economy that is overdue for a major economic restructuring and financial reset. Often when these events historically occur, wars occur shortly thereafter. Right? I mean, we can prove this out historically. Here's the other thing, Howard, I want to point out. And this is something that goes even beyond astrology that we can't always explain, even with the cycles. We seem to have an X event that determines the course, the entire course for the next century, all right, that seems to occur like clockwork in the second decade of the new century. So if you go back 100 years, for example, you had what? World War I. If you go back in the second decade of the beginning of the 1800s, you have what? You have Napoleon's invasion of Russia, and you have England and France in full, you know, European conflict, right? The Napoleonic Wars. Mm-hmm. So if you go back every 100 years, you have a major, major game-changing event that sets the course of history, sets the narrative for the remaining 100 years. We are overdue for a major, major event. to occur. And the astrological transits, the Barbo Planetary Cyclic Index, and a whole host of other techniques out there are all showing we are imminent for some major X event.
Okay, so we have these what you call X events in history, and you say that they are portentous, and in the words of Carly Simon, not to trivialize this, they're coming around again.
They're coming around again big time. And if we look at these X events, we can see in history they're unexpected major events that change the course of history. They have potent long-term global significance, often occurring during the second decade of each century, like clockwork. The first one, if we just go back in time, August 24th, 410, right? We've seen the collapse of the Roman Empire when the Visigoths sack Rome. But then 100 years later, we see the rise of the Tang Dynasty, which begins what we understand today as China. Then 100 years later, in 1814, the rise of Charlemagne. So we could go 16, 18, then we jump again, 17, the rise of Justinian in Turkey, January 28th, 1814, Charlemagne unites Western Europe, June 17th, 1013, the Vikings successfully invade England, June 15th, 1215, the Magna Carta is sealed, October 25th, 1415, the Battle of Nandicourt, the beginning of the Hundred Years' War in Europe. October 31st, 1618, the 30 Years' War, which is the most destructive war in Europe prior to World War I and World War II. June 24th, 1812, as you know, the French invasion of Russia and the British-French Wars, Napoleonic Wars. We're seeing, I skipped a few centuries here. I think the other century, in particular to the UK, is on June 23rd, 1314, the Scots de facto independence occurs when Robert the Bruce restores Scotland's independence. That's a major event. So what we notice is whoever is the emerging or dominant world power will be impacted most by these X events. Right now, it still stands, regardless of what people pontificate, the United States is still the dominant world power technologically, economically, militarily, right? So we need to be looking for this X event. Oh, by the way, the other X event I skipped over here was in 1517 on October 31st when Martin Luther posted his 95 theses in protest, which started the German Reformation, which broke up the Christian church into many, many churches, which basically set a revolution, a cultural, social, and a scientific revolution at that time. So you can see every 100 years in a second decade, something occurs.
But the difference between those eras and now is that we have more power at our fingertips. We are more democratized. We have more technology available to us. We're smarter. Surely we're too smart for cataclysms of this kind. Surely we can figure a way out these days. I mean, I'm just trying to, I'm trying to give myself a little bit of hope in all of this, in all of this gloom. But, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'll tell you, I have clients that tell me, now that I know this information, there's no way I'm going to allow these transits to happen. This Pluto stuff, forget about it. I'm just going to outsmart it. It doesn't work that way. I really would. Now, some astrologers may believe you can outsmart your transits, and that's why they have an astrological, that's what they tell their clients. But that hasn't been my experience. Okay. That hasn't been my experience with my clients. We only can engage the energy and make the most informed decisions.
Okay, now, as far as you can see, and this is your opinion based on your analyses, before anybody, emails me to say anything otherwise, do you think that Britain will actually go through with the Brexit? Are we going to do this?
Yes, it will go forward. It will go forward. Simply because one of the X events that could possibly occur, and I have my X event possibility list, is that we see a collapse of the banking system that will first start in Italy and will be the significator or preset that will result in the collapse of the Eurozone, or at least as we understand the Eurozone today and the way it's structured today, which will only accelerate and intensify the British exit process.
Right. So you're saying that those people who are now campaigning for a softer Brexit or no Brexit at all, when this comes down the track, as you say it might, then they'll effectively be silenced, and the process will intensify. It'll gather speed.
Correct. I mean, let's just go back here to 1939, right? You still had people in England that believed that Adolf Hitler could be negotiated with, right?
Well, we had a prime minister who believed that, yeah.
Who believed that. That's one of the reasons Britain suffered its greatest military defeat, along with the French. The French had the most advanced and sophisticated army in the world, and both forces got defeated in 4 days and were on the verge of decimation. That's not because the British and the French were not capable of dealing with the Nazi war machine, right? It's the fact that the leadership created that scenario that led to a crisis that became an existential event for France and for Britain and for the rest of Europe. So this is the type of thinking that is pervasive now, that's marginalizing what is going on. I mean, you have Democrats in America thinking, Trump's finished. There's no way he's getting reelected. We just need to get a really ultra liberal out there, you know, and we'll get a Bernie Sanders, you know, a younger version of Bernie Sanders, and it's a sealed deal. I can tell you right now, based on what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, that is so far from the reality.
You know, I'm going to get a mountain of email from people who support the Democrat Party. And you know, sometimes I get enormous criticism for even talking around anything political in the United States. That people who email me, they say, you have no right as a Brit to do this. But these are world events that affect everybody. Are you speaking from a Republican perspective here? It kind of sounds like that's the way that you lean.
No, I'm not a Republican at all. Okay. I am nonpartisan. Okay. I am nonpartisan. If I was partisan... Right. If I was partisan in any position, I would not have the track record I have in not only predicting presidential campaigns. You could look at my website. For those of you who are interested, you can see that I have predicted four governors, senators. I have an excellent track record. And if I was partisan, I would always be leaning to one party over the other. So look, partisanship in my business will severely impact my wallet. So there's no way I'm going to allow that to happen.
Okay. Now, I heard a political commentator on radio in London yesterday when I was going into work in London saying that he believed that Donald J. Trump wouldn't last for much longer. What do the charts show you about that?
Well, again, the British experts, the British political experts and the British political astrologers, some of them happen to be friends of mine, have been completely wrong. These are the same ones who didn't predict the rise of Donald Trump, predicted that Trump would lose to a landslide to Hillary Clinton, then predicted that he would be out of office within the first year. They have consistently been wrong. They are the last people anyone should be listening to. The people who've been calling it right from the very beginning are the ones the press and the media and the populace should be looking and listening to in terms of what Trump is likely to do next, because what he's likely to do next will have even more impact than any president since Eisenhower.
Jeez.
Right? And that's what
and what do you think he's about to do next?
Well, he's going to be part of this, what I would call this global transformational event, like it or not. Because there's indications the way his chart is constructed. He's got an extremely powerful horoscope, a tremendous level of prowess and personal power. Regardless whether you agree with him, love him, hate him, it doesn't really matter. I just call it as I see it. And he's got a very clear agenda. The thing about his agenda, though, is that you don't know it, what it is, until he enacts it. There's no political pundit out there that I've listened to who's been able to accurately call what Trump's likely to do next. He defies every rule. He defies every aspect of political think tank out there.
Well, I think whatever political perspective my listener is coming from, I don't think you can disagree with that. What do you think of the prospects, as some people hint over here, who claim that they know politics, of him being brought down by scandal?
No, basically what you see right now is a soft coup by the American deep state who wanted a neocon or a neoliberal politician that would basically provide lip sync to the base voters while they were enacting policies by a oligarchical elite that are protected and operate within the boundaries of the deep state, which also includes Wall Street. So this is the big issue. You have Trump not only taking on the Democrats and fighting with the Rhino Republicans, all right, which are basically bought out, compromised, control filed assets of the deep state, right? You also have Trump taking on the very intelligence agencies and fighting them. However, that being said, and I have spoken about this about 2 years ago, is that we're seeing a split. There's a civil war occurring now within the deep state, where you have a deep state A, which has basically been in control since 1945. That group was behind Obama, behind Clinton, all right? That's the group that is basically creating this so-called Russian collusion scandal, right? And you have this group B that has emerged, that is completely split, that's behind Trump, because Trump would not be president today if he didn't have the support of the intelligence agencies. Right. Look, many people don't believe that there's a deep state. Many astrologers out there don't believe there's a deep state. The fact that they can continue to believe that, you know, they put that in the realm of aliens and UFOs and you know, other taboo subject matter, that just doesn't exist. That's all conspiracy theory, is one of the reasons they are so off in their forecast and their perspective and their opinions and their policy positions and papers. And so, look, that's the big issue, is we're dealing with a deep state, an oligarchical elite that operates within the intelligence, military, and financial shadow banking infrastructure of the nation state, as well as Europe, that are trying to move us into a very different type of world than the world that we believe we live in.
And you say that astrology shows you this. I've heard conspiracy theorists and political analysts say these things. I've never heard an astrologer say it.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things I teach with my clients, not my clients, my students, I have a mundane astrology course, which is a very intensive 12-week course. And one of the things we talk about is the emergence of the deep state in the United States in 1947 during the National Security Act, when the Saturn-Pluto conjunction occurred. And I talk about looking at that inceptional moment, then the beginning of the NSA, right? And then the build out from there. One of the big issues, we saw the first blowout, the first power struggle between the public government and the deep state was with the Kennedy assassination. The Kennedy assassination is basically a result of that power struggle. This is not the first time it happened. Nixon's resignation is the second example of a deep state with public government, with the White House. And now you're seeing it exemplified here with Donald Trump.
You talked about JFK. Did you look at Lee Harvey Oswald's chart?
Well, Lee Harvey Oswald was an asset of the CIA. He was a, you know, that it was very clear. I mean, you know, where there's no, first of all, that story of a one man assassin just doesn't measure up at all. There's a tremendous amount of information and evidence now. I mean,
but look, is there anything in his chart that indicates that in his own words, he was a patsy? Is there anything in his chart that shows that?
Yeah. See, it's very hard to determine that from the chart. Is this guy going to be a patsy? It looks like he's a sacrificial. Sacrificial figure who was operating as a CIA agent. So I believe one of the things that's interesting about this is the fact that we still have 8,000 files that have yet to be released, that Trump ordered to be released, but the CIA is now fighting with him still, even though they released 15,000, or I believe they believed recently another 15,000, and they released 50,000 prior to that. But there's still 8,000 files, and most of those files have to do with Oswald. They do not want to release those files.
And boy, would I like to see that information. And there are many thousands, tens of thousands like me. Can I ask you something that you don't have to answer? We don't have to go there. But more and more people, and this was heavily featured, as you know, just before Christmas in the New York Times, that was telling us that we're getting closer, perhaps, to disclosure about aliens and UFOs and all the rest of it. Is there anything that you've been able to deduce that shows that any of that might be correct, that we may be moving closer to a kind of disclosure that will show us we are not alone, if indeed we aren't?
Well, I mean, we just recently had a major disclosure event in the New York Times and the New York Times website, where there was video from the Department of Defense.
Military pilots chasing something that behaves like nothing we can make. Yeah.
Right. And then they talked about, in that same article, about exotic technologies that have been acquired that are being reverse engineered by Bigelow Space in North Las Vegas. This goes into it quite deeply, that the U.S. has advanced technologies that are generations ahead of any nation in the world, including Russia and China, 5 to 15 generations, depending what technology we're talking about. And that there are two it's implying there are two militaries. That article didn't explicitly state that, but you've had enough whistleblowers that have come out of the, right, have come on coast to coast and various other talk shows, done videos, and met with researchers talking about there's two space programs, there's two militaries, right? And the fact that we're now seeing disclosure is not so much an issue for the Department of Defense in terms of the fact that there's an alien presence. The deeper problem has to do with the fact that we have two budgets, right? We have two militaries, we have two industrial complexes, we have two forms of government, right? And that are operating outside the bounds of the U.S. Constitution. This is the great secret and the revelation that's going to be unveiled during this geopolitical economic reset.
So do you think that this reset will converge with disclosure? Do you think that those things, they're going to be part of the same thing? That's fascinating.
Yes,
what kind of time scale then, William, are we talking about? How long are we going to have to wait for this stuff?
Well, it's already started. I mean, anyone who just looks at those videos, they put out three videos. I mean, you have people from the CIA who worked at very high levels of CIA and intelligence, who actually are speaking on this now and talking about the deep state operations and reverse engineering processes that have been going on. I mean, this is all out there now. The problem is you still have a resistant public or populace that still wants to believe in a worldview that's there's still a significant segment of the public who are operating within a postmodern 1945 worldview, and are, you know, and what is being addressed, and probably a lot of what I'm discussing right now, is very provocative, disturbing, and upsetting to that worldview. Because it's not just about, oh, okay, there's aliens, they come here every now and then to see what's going on. That's not the real issue. That may be upsetting, but that's something that probably most people could accept. And at this point, what our understanding of science believe, right? The real issue has to do with the deep state element of government that, and the control that has been imposed, and the kleptocracy and the truth embargo that's been in place since 1945 onward, including the shadow banking system that was created in order to fund these projects that eventually became a breakaway civilization.
So it's all part of the same critical mass. We are in for interesting times if what you say is correct, William. I hope we get the chance to talk again. I've really enjoyed this. You're like no astrologer I've ever spoken to before. But if you would be keen to do this again, I'll put you on my live radio show across the UK, and we'll see where we take it if you want to do that.
Yeah, Howard, I had a great time. Really, that would be great. I would love that.
Okay, if people want to read about you, and they should see your website, because your IT experience comes out with that, where do they go?
I suggest they go to my website, www.williamstickevers.com, and my blog is also located there, and they can also look at my work. I post predictions almost daily on my Facebook page, So they can reach out to me there as well. And I'm also on YouTube. I do quite a number of predictions and perspective on my YouTube channel.
Right. And how are things going to be for the Gemini people? It's a very unfair question. Just very keen to know.
I think Geminis are really going to have to make some decisions this year that they've been putting off.
Oh, boy. Right? You are so right. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, I'll report back to you on that, William. And listen, I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Howard, for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Always a fascinating and a controversial subject. I'm sure it won't be the last time we'll talk about astrology here. Your thoughts on this edition of The Unexplained Welcome, go to my website, theunexplained.tv, and you can send me an email from there. And if you'd like to make a donation while you stop by the website, that would be great too. You know that the subscription shows, as I've said before here, some of them make phenomenal amounts of money. We're going to stay this way for as long as we possibly can, and if I can find a way to fund it better, then I will. But, you know, I'll keep it going, and I'm happy to do it because this is the thing that I love, and I'm really pleased that you like it. Thank you for your nice comments. Please keep your emails coming. I hope you are well through the summertime here in the Northern Hemisphere as it's starting now, or the wintertime is beginning to dawn in the Southern Hemisphere. And until next we meet here on The Unexplained, my name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained. I am in London, and please stay safe. Please stay calm. And above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.